Welcome back to You Ask For It. If you've been with us recently, you know this is a podcast that we record live at our church on Wednesday nights at First Baptist Hendersonville. And we've been walking through a study, first of all, where we were looking at Christianity and world religions, but now we've moved into understanding denominations. Now, last week we took a break from that, and Dr. Dan Yoder, a member of our church, gave an incredible discussion on what it was that Jesus went through on the cross from a medical perspective. And so if you haven't listened to that episode, if you go back and look at the one just before this, you'll find it. Well, tonight we're going to do another bonus episode, and instead of Pastor Steve being with me tonight, I have Dr. Eric Williamson, who is one of our ministers here on staff, and we're going to be looking at the importance of the multi-generational church. Now tell me, do you remember when you were little doing the little hand motion thing where you said, you put your hands together, here is the church, here is the steeple, you know, open the doors and here's all the people. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to do. We do it with our kids. But what's funny is it's not entirely accurate, because how do we paint the church right there? We paint it as a building, right? Well, the Bible defines the church not necessarily as a building, but as a people, an assembly of people that are coming together to worship the Lord in a local congregation. And just like a church building can be different, those people in many ways can be different. In fact, they should look different, right? Wouldn't you say that, Eric?
Yes. Yeah. Feeling of the differences, but we are drawn toward those that are similar, though, right? Yeah. And so the differences that we do see are there, but it's a normal thing to have that kind of leaning toward the familiar that we would see amongst the differences. And you can think of this as just like a sports. You're just drawn to those. I'm from Georgia, so anytime I see the Bulldog G, I'm just drawn to it. And I'm not the biggest, like, sports fan, but there's still just that kind of connection and familiarity with
it's just in your blood.
It's just there. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Born in Georgia, just a Dogs fan. And so even though I'm not the big sports fan, it's just, I don't even know that person, but I still have that connection.
Yeah.
And then when I see just like a Florida Gator, I feel a little sick.
Yeah.
And so these differences, though, we want to be clear, though, when you're drawn to what's similar, that's the unity of the church. And you can bond over the same ages, same life stages.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Nothing wrong with that. And that's the sign of just the unity and help that we see in the church. But we don't want to overlook that, though. We don't want to overlook the differences and the diversity. And in fact, it's been pretty diverse from the very beginning.
Yeah. So, for instance, the book, you know, the letter to the Philippians, if you've read the New Testament, you know, it's one of the, just a great encouraging book to read. It is clear when you look at that letter that Paul loves the church at Philippi deeply. But what you see when you study the foundings of the church of Philippi is that it was a very diverse group of people. For instance, if you look at Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 40, it's this description of the founding of the church of Philippi and the people who were in it. And it's important to this discussion because it is people across socioeconomic lines, I mean, all over the place. And it really represents the city that they were living in. So, like, for instance, when Paul went there, the city of Philippi was a thriving city. It was a city that was named from Philip, who was Alexander the Great's father, this Greco city that was then taken over by the Romans, made into a Roman colony, and became in some ways a retirement community. So veterans and merchants would retire there. They would live there, live pretty lavish lifestyles there. And it became this place of prestige and honor. And those same citizens who lived there were also then considered citizens of Rome and were given rights that were not held in any other parts of the Roman Empire. So you have this prestigious people that lived there, but then you also had other different people who lived there. Explain the different dynamics of Philippi.
Yeah, from what we see, these are important details for us understanding just the atmosphere of the church at Philippi. Now, scholars would look at it and say that it's basically the first European church. And all that's going on there with its prestige of being a colony, you see a lot of diversity that's there. And you're probably familiar with Lydia. She was in the purple trade fashion. So that showed a sign of affluence. And just showing that she was a woman who was in that trade shows the diversity as well. Now, she opened up her home for the church to meet there, so that also shows just her background and affluence that she would have. But we also know other believers that were part of the church, like the jailer. When Paul and Silas are praying, the earthquake just rattles the jail, and they can escape, but they don't. He hears the gospel message and believes, yeah. And also his household believes, yes, as well. So that's a picture of the Christians at Philippi. You have a diverse bunch of veterans, these veteran soldiers. You have merchants, the jailer, and his family. So not just different backgrounds, different ages as well in this diversity.
You've also got the young girl who was, you know, that was this filled by demonic spirit, right? You know, and so you've got this really diverse group of people. And as we were talking about this church at Philippi, I couldn't help but think of Eric's Sunday school class. His class really is a great representation of what we're seeing there. You could say that every single life stage is represented in Eric's class. Now, typically, our Sunday school classes are built around similar ages, similar just stages of life. Yep. But in Eric's class, you've got married, you've got young parents with children, you've got singles that are in there, you have college students, retirees. And to understand his class, you need to know that it's a discussion-based class that has lessons built around the sermon from the previous Sunday. So when Eric prepares his lessons, he gets the manuscript, he works through it, and then he prepares questions based off of that sermon. Now, the questions are always the same, but because your class is so different, it means that those answers are kind of from all different places, right?
Yeah.
So describe your class a little bit.
Yeah, it's Philippi right upstairs. So when it first started in 2021, it was an age range. That was how it was first set up. Because again, you're doing life together, sharing all these kind of experiences. Prior to that, though, I had been subbing for a different class, and a couple who was looking for a class wanted to come from that class and join mine, and I could never tell them, hey, don't. Yeah. So they fit right in and have been great leaders in our group since then, and have hosted fellowships and have just had all the children, because there's a lot of kids in our class, just running over their backyard. Uh-huh. And it's great to hear the testimonies from those that are in the class, because, again, so we were talking about someone took a picture of the class. We all sit in a circle, and you could see some like college students sitting next to a couple who have children that age.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to hear the testimonies of the challenge of thinking outside of your own demographic and hearing the challenges they're going through. And so when I've asked others about it, it's really strengthened their faith and learning how to build community in that way. So from the older ones, some have said it's helped them understand their children better, because they don't have these kinds of conversations with them. But in our class, we open up and describe and explain all the different things that we're going through. And then from the younger ones, though, they're just gleaning all this wisdom and knowledge of all that has been, the older ones have pioneered so many things. So it's not just married. We have singles. There was a single father who had raised his children just on his own. And he was just pouring out wisdom and insight on others, that some that don't have children, but maybe they would one day. And so we have that too, the singles. And so that's kind of helped us too to try to understand community in this very diverse way, because it does kind of come with some challenges.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the challenges that can come from having multiple generations together. The big challenge is the very fact that generations have differences. I'll explain a couple of them. One, I don't know, we've maybe shared this story on a Wednesday before, but one that Pastor Steve and I laugh about is I was getting his opinion on a story to tell in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't use the story, and it probably was a good thing I didn't use the story, but one I really wanted to use because it was really funny. But in there, I'm talking about my brother, my mom being sad that his hair was not blonde anymore, so she tried to dye it back blonde, and when she did that, it was bleach blonde, and he had to go to school the next day like that. And so what I said is he went to school looking like Slim Shady. And what was funny is, which by the sound of the room, most people here, Pastor Steve, had no idea who that was. His response was, what's a Slim Shady, right? Slim Shady is Eminem's nickname, the rapper. And you're probably also thinking, I thought that was candy. I didn't realize that. So Eminem's a rapper, goes by Slim Shady. He looked like Slim Shady. So clearly there was a generational breakdown there. But at the same time, he'll also tell you that he has almost like a mini heart attack every time I say that I've never watched an episode of Andy Griffith. Like, how could I not understand that?
Yes. The shock.
So I just lost the respect of so many people in this room. Just, do you see how there can be these just generational differences that can cause breakdowns? And what do we do? Sometimes we're like, are you kidding me? Like, why are you like that? That's a breakdown that can happen. What's another breakdown that can happen?
The interesting thing with Eminem that I mentioned to you earlier, I've never listened to him at all, but I know exactly the reference though, because it's just a generational thing. Yeah. So you might not even be a part of it or know that culture slips into it. So another thing will be clothing. With like the Jesus movement, that was coming in. So it was just different clothing. We'll call them hippies were coming in. And so it was less less formal attire, long hair. But it doesn't just go that way also with just the older to the younger to the older too.
Yes.
Just seeing how we're kind of dressed a little bit, business casual, we look a little too authoritarian for younger, you would want to look more like you just came off the golf course kind of thing, right? That's more in that sense. But it's a different way of looking of just dress.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. How about this? Another generational difference that can cause problems is just the language that is used. It's interesting. I'm only 32 years old, and I already cannot understand half the things that teenagers say. I just don't understand it. New words, for instance, I'll give you two of them. Maybe you have heard these before. How about this word? Bussin'. You ever heard that word before? Anybody know what bussin' means? I didn't either. It just means like, that's really good, you know? Like, just say really good then. You know, like, bussin'. Okay, I got another one. If somebody says, maybe this is a little bit more mainstream, but if somebody says Michael Jackson is the GOAT, anybody know what that means? Greatest of all time. Okay, you got it there. The first time I ever heard that, I'm like, what in the world? The GOAT. Yeah, great. It's a acronym, greatest of all time. That's acronym, right? Yeah, so greatest of all time. But then it can be, on the other side as well. For instance, a hymn that I'm pretty sure many of you love, when the roll is called up yonder. There's a lot of people who would say, where is yonder? What is that? When the roll is called up yonder, is that another town or something? Yeah, it's up there somewhere. Yeah. You got a younger generation would never know that. And even people maybe who were not from the South would not know what the word yonder means, right? It'd be a difference. You were telling me about in your Sunday school class.
Yeah. One of the classes I was subbing for, so not my class, but another class, was teaching through Philippians. And I just asked a question and someone said, it's that filthy lucre. I was lost. I had no idea what it meant. What is it? Money. Yes. Why not just say money? Or bling, right? Everybody knows money.
Yeah, bling. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's good. On the other side of things. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So look, with multiple generations comes challenges. But we would argue that those challenges are worth working through. And what we want to do just for the rest of the time, with a few minutes, is offer four reasons why we need multiple generations in the church. And here's what we'd like to do is provide two reasons why the younger need the older, and then two reasons why the older need the younger. First of all, we would say that the younger in the church need the older for wisdom.
Yes.
How would you kind of work through that?
Yeah, so the wisdom of just that lived experience. Shakespeare, I didn't write this, this is Shakespeare. Experience is a jewel and has need be, for it often is purchased at an infinite rate. And that just shows how priceless experience is lived through, where on the younger side, haven't yet, right? Looking toward the older generation. So older members have lived Romans 5:3. We also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope.
Yeah, so there's just a wisdom that can only be achieved by walking through the hardship and coming out the other side with hope, right? And you just can't fully be there until you've experienced it. So, like, for instance, I have two boys that I'm raising right now. What I'm so grateful for is there's many days where I feel like I failed. There's many days where I don't know what to do and I'm trying to figure it out. And what I'm grateful for is there's many times I've had conversations with men in our church who've raised boys. They've been through that life, and their response is usually like, "Hey, you're going to be okay. Like, I messed up there too. I promise you're going to be fine." Or, "Hey, here's something that maybe you can do with your boys to help them in that way." Now, why can they offer me that? Because they've walked through it. They've walked through the hardship that comes with raising boys. They've walked through the joys that comes with raising boys. And so for me, as a younger person, I look forward to the wisdom that I gain from others in our church.
Yeah. And it is that just valuable gem that you can only acquire through that. So a part of my ministry is the Homebound Visitation Ministry. And there is just so much wisdom, so much knowledge of those saints who have just lived out their faith, and we can understand that. And what we're doing now, Angel, who works with the Crosswalk High School girls, they're planning those visits to go and spend time with them and learn from them. And it's just going to be a mutual blessing on both sides.
Yeah. I love that. So the younger need the older for wisdom. But then second of all, in the church, the younger need the older for stability. If you just look at studies, what you'll find is that those in their 20s and 30s tend to be transient. They don't stay in the same area long. They're moving around because of job changes, you know, the opportunities before them. Maybe they decide to move back closer to family. They're going in and out. And this movement can be difficult sometimes on the church. It can cause leadership turnover. It can cause people to lose good givers to the church, different things. And so if a church is primarily just those in their 20s and 30s, it becomes hard to replace that leadership. For instance, I was at a church in Raleigh, North Carolina, that was a phenomenal church, but Raleigh is a very young city, and the average stay in Raleigh is like 16 months. So it just, you go there, you move there for a job, you get a promotion, you go somewhere else. You go there for school, you're there for a little bit, and you go somewhere else. So what that meant at the church is we were constantly trying to raise up new small group leaders because they were constantly moving and going somewhere else. This can be tough on the church. So I think that's where an older member can provide some stability.
Yes, the older church members are there for that. The clinical psychologist Meg Jay, in her book, The Defining Decade, she looks at the ages of 20 to 35. And what she's found out is 80% of the most defining moments of your life happen during that age span, up to 35. Mm-hmm. All these massive things that are going to be so formative in that time. And I could speak from experience. When I was 25, I had no children and no degree. Mm-hmm. 35, four children, and I was in my second year of my PhD.
So, yeah, a little bit of changes.
A little unstable, I'd say. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of changes, whereas you needed some stability, and that's where so often the older members come into play. For instance, real quick, who here, I just want to see, who has been at our church for more than 6 years? If you've been at church for more than 6 years, raise your hand, okay? Keep them up. If you've been at the church more than 10 years, okay, 15 years, 20 years, 25. You're going to start doing some math for some, okay? 30. Couple? 40? I'm going to stop doing math. I'll just say, okay, we got two winners. But we'll say, here's what's great about that. That's stability for our church, right? Think about that. Members staying for that long to be here to provide that leadership. And I think that's an important thing for the church that oftentimes a younger people cannot provide. Yep. So two things. We've got stability and wisdom. Now, what can the younger then provide the older? Or so what do the older need the younger for? First of all, the older need the younger for energy and passion. Look, if we're honest, we just start to lose energy as we get older, don't we? Yeah. And then in that, sometimes we can lose our passion. Just it's maybe we don't always get as excited about new things, things that could be different. Pastor Steve, I love the story he tells about when he first went to Opelika, Alabama from here. It's close to Auburn University and they had a big college ministry. And he went in and was just watching all of those college students worship the Lord, just crying out to God, seeking His face. He told me he was just mesmerized by that, asking like, God, let me cry out for you in that same way. Let me have that kind of passion for you. It comes about when you're younger that maybe we just don't always have. So I think that's something that is that's important. How about for you? Like, we saw something this past Wednesday night that was helpful for our whole church.
Yes, it was Dan's presentation, the Grand Rounds, when we had this, the procession of the youth came in, yeah. Right? All of those came in from Crosswalk. And from where I was sitting, it wasn't just because I had a couple of kids in there making
you're,
sure they
you're
were
eyeing them.
Yeah, a little bit in line. They did okay. But I could see just their reaction and responses to it. They were just captivated, and it was just new and fresh. And I think we all remember that when we were just younger, just how just rich it was. And that's just what I saw on their faces. Plus it's Dan's, magical teaching also.
That's it.
Seeing them though, learning this from the first time.
Yeah. I love that. And we also know if you just look at history, revivals happen through young people, right? These younger people that God gets a hold of their hearts and just energy and passion flows out and then they change the world. We saw the Jesus People movement we've talked about. Some of you were in your teenage years, early 20s, when you went through that. We just saw Asbury happen recently, right? Where it was college students once again on fire for the Lord. There's energy and passion with young people. And you had a quote from Joseph Castleberry, right?
Yeah, he's the president of Northwest University and he was commenting on it because the Asbury outpouring affected the student, but everyone who was coming in, it was they numbered it like 50,000 to 70,000 people. But he was saying just from the college students, he was saying the next generation of ministers usually come out of a revival, drive and that passion.
I love it. Yep. That's good. And then finally today, the older need the younger for creativity and vision. You see, the longer that we are at one place and the older that we get, it just becomes easier and easier to be just kind of happy where we are and to be complacent, right? So I'm going to give an example. And if I trigger somebody in here, I apologize, okay? But I can still remember as a teenager, walking into my grandmother's house and sitting down on her couch and looking at the furniture and the carpet and thinking, this has not been in style for over 40 years. Why is it there? Just always had it, it sits well, the carpet's still in good shape, right? We get complacent. We can do the same thing in the church sometimes too. It's just worked. It's always worked. So let's just keep on doing it. Here's where young people are so important to the church. They force the church to think about how to minister to the next generation. They cause the church to ask, why do we do this? Right? Why are we still doing this? Is it because it's still effective? Or is it simply because it's just something that we've always done, right? That's just what a young person does. You had a conversation with Dave, and give me just a couple quick words on what Dave said about this.
Yeah, Dave was talking about when Steve came in, and the question was, are you going to start a modern service? And Steve just said, we're just going to love people. We'll listen to God and listen to the people, and then we'll know. And Dave said this, that tradition can sometimes become sacred, can become a sacred cow. And sacred cows make great hamburger meat. Dave Marshall.
There you go. Yes. I think it's good. And that's where it's beautiful. Now, but this is where it can get out of balance. Do you see how our, do we see how we've displayed both? If it's only younger people, we don't respect any tradition. We don't have anything we hold on to. It's unstable. We're always trying to do something next. But then if it's only older people, then we could say we don't move anywhere, we're not doing anything. And that's where really we find the beauty of both generations being together. See, I think for a church to thrive, it is not just younger people, it's not just older people, it is all generations that the church needs to be able to move forward and to continue to do what it is that God has called us to do. Because look, here we are united around something very important. We might be different, but here's the thing. We worship the same God. We preach the same gospel and we believe the same doctrine, right?
Yep.
And because we believe those things, we might have differences in certain areas, but we can still lock arm in arm and move forward with the gospel. I want to say this, and I know you'd probably say the same. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that just does this well, that just loves on multiple generations well. And I pray that we might continue to do that, and maybe God will continue to use us for His kingdom and for His glory. So, hey, thank you so much for being here with us as we walk through this podcast, this special episode of You Asked For It. I hope it's encouraged you, and join us again in a couple of weeks where we will jump back into the study of understanding other denominations.